Listen in to the Forum at St. James Church.
The Lord be with you.
Let us pray.
Holy and gracious and loving God, on this fourth Sunday in Lent, as we turn and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, we pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, that we would see all the ways that you are at work in our lives, that we would know all the truth that you would have us to know about who you are and who we are, and how your love and grace and Spirit can create in us the image of your Son to share in all we do his love and peace. So pour out your Spirit on our conversation this day and bless us in all the days to come as we prepare for Easter. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want to pick up where Brenda left off last week, which was with the question, what are these spiritual gifts that we've been talking about throughout Lent for? What are spiritual gifts for? And the clergy were talking about it, and I got the answer that I heard Brenda gave last week, and I know Zach has spoken about his take on this, and so I'm going to give you my one sentence on what spiritual gifts are for, which is this. They are for the building up of the body for the glory of God. They are for the building up of the body for the glory of God. They are not innate talents which belong to you. And we're not sitting here waiting for you to figure out what you might like to do with them. They're not innate talents that belong to you, and we're not sitting here waiting for you to figure out what you might like to do with them. Spiritual gifts are gifts given by the Holy Spirit for a purpose: to equip the church with what it needs to do the work God has given it to do. So that might be my other one sentence definition. Why have one when you can have two, right? Spiritual gifts are gifts given by the Holy Spirit to equip the church with what it needs to do what God has called it to do. They're gifts given to us by the Spirit individually in our baptisms, that most important ministry that we all share, that most important ordination that we all share. And the packets that you have received, if you've taken this survey, or if you took it and have not yet received and are on that table over there where Ava is standing there, like Vanna White or something. those packets, if you've taken the spiritual gifts inventory, and if you haven't, it's not too late, you can take it and get your results, but whenever you take it, you will get three gifts, three suggestions of what your most important or highly ranked spiritual gifts are, and lots of suggestions for how you might use those gifts here through St. James, right? And I really do want you to take the invitation seriously to think about whether God might be calling you to build up the body here at St. James, to do the work of God in and through St. James, whether God might be calling you to some new ministry here, or perhaps even to lay aside some old ministry so you have room for some new ministry. So I want you to take that seriously, and the packet has lots of suggestions for what you might do here or through here. But today we're not talking about here. Today we're talking about what it might look like for you to deploy those spiritual gifts out there, at home, in your workplaces, among your friends. What might it look like to use your spiritual gifts out there? Now, I know, because I know y'all, that there's the wisdom to answer that question is already in this room. So I'm not going to answer that for you. But I do want to offer just a few introductory thoughts to kind of prime the pump and to clarify a few important things before we get talking around these tables. So the first thing that I want to say is that, and I've already said it, but why not say it again? The first thing that I want to say is that these are not talents for you to use like you might want to. They are gifts given by God for the purposes God intends. Which means when I say, let's talk today about what they might look like to use them in your family or at your workplace or among your friends, I am not saying that they are about having a better family life or a more successful professional career. It's not that you've learned, well, my talent is X and I could use that better at work to be a more productive person. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Nor am I giving you helpful suggestions for how to have a happier, healthier family life, though I do want you to have a happier, healthier family life. These are gifts given by God to further the kingdom, to advance God's mission, to accomplish God's purposes in the world. So that's the first thing I want to say. It's not about your flourishing alone. It's about advancing God's purposes, which includes your flourishing, but is bigger. Y'all with me there?
Yep.
Okay, so the second thing is, well then what is God's mission? What are God's purposes in the world? The prayer book is quite clear about this in the catechism. It gives another one sentence definition that I want to unpack with you. But the one sentence definition is that God's mission is to restore all things to unity with God and one another. You heard in 2 Corinthians just now, or you're going to hear, that we are ambassadors for Christ who have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And Christ was busy reconciling all things to himself and entrusts us with that work. So the mission of God is to restore all things to unity with God and one another. In other words, the mission of God is to remake the world and to flood it with God's presence and God's glory, to make us and our world more and more what God created us to be, to narrow the gap between the way things are and the way things should be. That's the work of the Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit is about, is doing God's work in us. It's God at work in us, giving us growth and connecting us to the Father and forming in us the image of the Son that we would walk in Jesus' way, forgiving our sins, equipping us with wisdom and strength, pouring God's love into our hearts until it bubbles out and floods all of our lives. The church is meant to be the sacrament of that, the outward and visible sign of that in the world. It's meant to show the world what it could look like for all things to be restored to unity with God and one another. But Christians are called to be those ambassadors for Christ, to be agents of reconciliation who are out beyond the walls of the church, living in all the spaces of their life, that same purpose, that same mission, to be the agents of God in the remaking of the world, to be channels by which God's flooding glory goes out into all the world. And so that's the third thing that I want to say. We can't live bifurcated lives. We can't live fragmented lives. We can't say that we're about one thing here as we gather for worship, or as we serve at the Friday dinner program, or as we volunteer on a committee or help out with a second time around sale or whatever it is. We can't live one way here by one set of rules here and then live completely differently at our workplace or in our family life or among our friends. The same values have to animate us wherever we are. That's when Jesus talks about hypocrites in the Gospels, it's a term from drama about wearing a mask. We can't wear one kind of mask here and then take it off and live by a different set of ways in the world. We have to be holistic in people who live with integrity. That's not easy. One of my favorite new authors, someone I've just discovered, is a man named Ken Costa, who's a British banker. And he wrote a wonderful little book called God at Work, which we may do some work with here at St. James in the future, but I commend it to you for now. And he once said this. He said, living as a Christian in the world today is akin to living on a knife's edge. Reading the Bible, praying, and talking to friends are all helpful, but there's no click here answer to the many dilemmas that we all face at work each day. And he goes on to say, the task is so immense that nothing short of a new Pentecost, a new outpouring of the Spirit that brings newness, creativity, and adventure is required if we are to see our places of work transformed, our communities throbbing with life, and our society healed. And my conviction behind what we're doing this Lent as we talk about spiritual gifts is that that thing Ken says is true. It's not a subjunctive if it were true. It is true. There has been an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he'd do it and he did it. And he's been doing it from the day of Pentecost on. He's poured out his Spirit on us, his church. He's equipped us with spiritual gifts, not talents, but spiritual gifts to do that work that God has called us to do. And as we discover them and nurture them and use them, both within these walls and wherever we are, to advance God's mission and to be about God's purposes, we will see more and more something of God's dream for this world realized. So, that's enough of me. I want you to take a few minutes at your tables to think about two questions. The first is there a time where you feel like you have already done this? So, I hope many of you have received your spiritual gifts packets, and I hope those of you who have received them remember what your three gifts were. But even if you don't, you might have a hunch about what your gifts are. Is there a time where you have seen those gifts at work in your home or at your workplace or in the rest of your life where you feel like you were doing something of this already, where something of the kingdom was breaking in, something of God's dream was being realized? So that's the first question. Have you already seen it? And the second one is, can you imagine a way that you might use one of the gifts that we've identified to do that very work out in the world, in whatever context you choose to think about, whether it's within your family life, in your workplace, among your friends? Is there a way that you could imagine using that gift to advance God's dream of a world whole and restored and at peace and at true unity with God and with one another? So we're going to take 10 minutes to share some reflections at tables, and then we'll come back together and see what wisdom is in the room. Sound good? Any questions about that? Awesome.
I've let you talk all day without being responsible. So, let me interrupt and see if there are things in the room that are that you think might be worthy of being shared for the building of the body in this place and our edification growth. Insights that came.
So our table has almost all mercy people here, and so every experience is really about how mercy is impacting family relationships and the way that you approach even some of the business or community things you're doing. There's just such a kindness and a way of responding that has an impact, and people feel it, and it can surprise you how people respond.
That's great. Yeah, our world is not full of mercy. So you can have a real impact when you are able to be merciful, as Matthew says, as our Heavenly Father is merciful. Other insights from tables?
Our table, for those of us who spoke, we came to the conclusion that we do not live bifurcated lives, that we do a pretty good job of being whatever we are within St. James's walls and beyond. Hospitality is one of the gifts we have. Mercy, patience, which I guess would fall under mercy. Faith, we try to let people know that we at least go to church, if not go beyond that. And what are some of the other things? And service. Giving someone a suggestion if something comes up that we feel we have something to share about.
Cool. Thank you.
Other people.
It was really interesting. We went from people who train people to teach students to spend the program of learning to helping each other, and that is in itself is very much what we are trying to do. And then the other extreme was I have been good in accounting, and it didn't seem at the moment to benefit me or anybody, but in fact that did a lot of good, and that was my way of doing good to other people. Then we have cases where, I don't think I've done anything on purpose, but through my business and singing, I've been very good at communicating to people, and I think I've communicated good things. Singing, we have two chorus people here, and being close, three, oh my goodness, and being closer to music and to singing gives a very good feeling toward God and toward people. And then we also have somebody who, in her nature, since she was a child, she always prayed for people, to the point where she became famous as the person who can intercede for you with Christ. And then all of us, we like to learn more.
Beautiful. Fabulous.
I just wanted to say that I brought up modeling the behavior on the outside, you know, in the workplace and in our day-to-day lives. Because, you know, to tell someone, oh, I go to church, believe in God, you know, a lot of people won't take that the right way, you know. Why are you telling us this? But if you model the behavior, I think you get a lot more.
Right.
Living our faith. Beautiful. I want to ask with the time running short, I want to ask a slightly challenging question, which is, did anyone feel convicted to do something new?
Convicted.
Maybe that's a conflicting thing, too.
Yes. And at our table, part of the dialogue was about the importance of prayer. And I spoke about praying for someone I know through my job who's going through a rough time. He asked for it, and I think it was helpful. But for me, I want to say, with all of you as my witnesses, I'd like to challenge myself to be bolder in prayer for those people in my job that really get my goat.
Yeah.
Let's then change me.
There are those people? Shocking.
Yes.
So one of my spiritual gifts was hospitality, and we historically open up our home for long periods of time to people, and I'm kind of exhausted from it, so I have to figure out how to gracefully and graciously a different path of hospitality.
Right.
Yeah, what a great thing to lift up, that to use the same gift you have doesn't mean you always use it the same way. Yeah.
I think Juicy made a good point about using maybe secular, if you want to call them that, activities for the purpose of contributing to the kingdom. You made the distinction between spiritual gifts and innate gifts, but every gift that we have is a spiritual gift in a way. It's all from God, right? They might differ in how we apply them, but they all come from the same source, don't they?
Yes. No, our whole being comes from God, of course.
But I think sometimes we have things like a talent. I'm a good accountant. I'm good with numbers. And there might be a spiritual gift of attention to detail and your, but that a good accountant is not a spiritual gift. Does that make sense?
Yes.
A spiritual
yes.
gift, you know, Scripture does give lists of spiritual gifts. We didn't just pick every talent that we have. There are particular things that Scripture lists up as being gifts of the Spirit for building up
the body of Christ and advancing the work of the kingdom. But you're right, everything, every gift we have, everything we have and everything we are is from our Creator, of course. Yeah. You want the last word?
Oh no, you can have the last word.
No, so I was thinking about something that I do normally to promote the faith or as a gift. So one thing is I generally will be very a big advocate for this church when I know that someone's Christian but doesn't attend church, and recommend the church. And I also know a lot of Catholics, a lot of friends and family, and a lot of them don't go to church. So I also try to advocate for the Episcopalian church of how we're very diverse, welcoming, accepting. And it did make me think, and one of my skills is leadership, was how do we, all of us, try to do more of that? Because as you know, the young people are looking for faith and looking for churches. So how can they look at the Episcopalian church? What can we do to advocate for the Episcopalian church in St. James?
Yeah, I think living in such a way that people go, huh, what makes you tick? And then being willing and ready to have an answer. I'm part of this community that has made a transformational difference in my life. Do you want to come with me? Yeah, do you want to come with me? What an important thing that we are all able to do and can do. So we're going to finish next week. We've gone a little over, but I appreciate it. I hope this is helpful. If you haven't taken the survey, stjames.org/spiritual-gifts. If you do it, we'll get your results back to you as quickly as we can. And we'll finish up next week with Ava talking about, so what now? What next? Okay.
Thank you.
To learn more about St. James Church, visit stjames.org. That's stjames.org.